Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with spiritual self-examination.
2 Corinthians 13 and 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. And it reads, examine yourselves. That sounds like worry about yourself. That's what God said. Worry about yourself. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Don't you know yourself? Know you not yourself, own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. He said, unless there's something wrong with you. That's what the scripture says. Unless you got something wrong with you, you should be able to look at yourself. And so we are continuing. This is part three of spiritual self-examination. Spiritual self-examination. Let's look at a parallel scripture from the Gospels. Matthew, the 7th chapter, starting in verse 1. Matthew 7 and verse 1. And it reads, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's in thine own eye? Sound like, again, worry about yourself. Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote or splinter out of your eye, and behold, a beam, a whole tree is coming out of your own eye. And then the Bible says, when we're more concerned about other people and don't see ourselves, Jesus said this, so don't get mad. I didn't say it. He said, you hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And what I point out about verse 5, he does not say that you can't ever see somebody else's faults. He didn't say you can't help somebody else with their issues. He said, but just make sure you're taking care of yours first. He said, then you won't be a hypocrite. And now you can more clearly see other folks before you. Now you can clearly see how you can help somebody else after you first deal with your own issues. So we've entitled this spiritual self-examination. And again, you know, what prompted this was the whole thing of last month when we were Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You kept hearing about examine yourself, and women doing self-examination. I was watching news this morning about, I didn't get the full story, but somebody who won a baby. I don't know. They want a baby. Yeah. Now, in the whole story, radio station running, they want a baby because they couldn't have children because he had testicular cancer. And some kind of way, I don't know. Anyway, but we said that some testicular cancer is something that first a man has to check his own self out to see if there's any bumps or lumps in a place that perhaps is not usually. And so we start on this whole concept of self-examination. Which is, and self-examination in the context we're using is a reflective examination of your beliefs, of your motives, and of what's going on with you internally. In other words, this self-examination we're talking about is introspection. Everybody say introspection. And so what the Bible is saying, don't be concerned with inspection until you first do introspection. Look at yourself first. Look inside yourself. And the words of self-examination, you know, in the natural sense, it means to examine one's body, especially for evidence of disease or sickness. So we said you need a mirror to thoroughly examine yourself. And James 1, 23 through 25 refers to the word of God as a mirror, as a glass is what it says. More modern translation says a mirror. He says the person who reads the word of God and beholds it, and the word able to show, it shows you yourself, but you act like it doesn't matter. You still, even though the word of God shows you yourself, you don't do anything about yourself. The Bible says just like a man looks in the mirror and sees that he's all jacked up, messed up, and don't do anything about it. He said, but when you look into the perfect law of liberty and you continue therein, and you don't be a forgetful hearer, but you do the work. Do the work. That tells me the word of God is not just word, it's also work. So when I read it, it gives me a work to do. He said, now do the work that's telling you to do, then you shall be blessed in your deed. You shall be blessed in your deed. So number one, we said you got to examine your heart because everything starts with the heart. That's based upon Matthew 12, 33 through 35. The good tree bring forth good fruit. Corrupt tree going to bring forth corrupt fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the good treasure of a man's heart, he bringeth forth good things. The evil man, a good evil trait of his heart, bringing forth evil things. So you have to be first look at your own heart. Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Amplified of that says it exposes and sifts and analyzes and judges the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Now, last week we talked about examining your mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, he's still reviewing. He's still reviewing. Okay. Last week we said number two, to examine your mouth. Because now everything is sealed by your mouth. I continue talking about that even on Sunday. That's how the word of faith works, right? You confess with you. You can believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart. So the mouth seals what the heart believes. The mouth seals what the mouth believes. So sometimes we say this thing, I was just playing, and the Bible tells us, gives us kind of evidence that the truth comes out sometimes in a joke. All right, because the Bible tells us about these idle words. We have to be careful about these idle words. So we got saved by confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart. And so we said that even our life condition is a reflection of what's been coming out of our mouths. Look at Proverbs 6 and 2. It says, because thou art snared, you're trapped, you're engulfed, you're boxed in with the words of thy mouth. Thou are taken with the words of thy mouth. There's a scripture where Paul says, he says, if you are, I think it's a Colossian church. He said, if you're feeling restrained, he says, not by me. He said, the word I'm giving you should be liberating you. Okay? Should be enlarging you. And so we can hear the word. It said, but then thou art snared with the words of your mouth. You're boxed in. You're limiting yourself with the words of your mouth. How about this? That never works for me. You know, how about people who say, I never win anything? Why is it possible that they never win anything? But they always say, I never win anything. Okay, we do these, you know, when you come out to volunteer meeting, you know, we give out gas cards. Okay, for those of you who volunteer but still don't come to volunteer meeting. Okay, we give out gas cards. Okay, $50 gas card to $50, $25, something like that, to four people. Okay, this is part of our budget of our church, things that we do just to show appreciation to volunteers. And you also every month we give out money to volunteer of the month and all that. Those are ways that we're just showing appreciation to our volunteers for all you say. You act like you don't appreciate nobody. Every time we get up here, we appreciate somebody. Okay. And even about in our staff meeting, I do a monthly meeting with all our staff. Again, we put in and we have a drawing, and we give away Visa cards and gas cards and Lowe's cards. Pastor Trey always want to win the Lowe's card, okay? And meal cards and all that. And as some people, as soon as I give it a pull, they say that's mine. I'm a win. And then there's always some people say, I ain't even looking, man. I'll never win nothing. Well, you're snared by the words of your mouth. Okay? So sometimes we have not. Well, wow, this is good too. The Bible says we have not because we what? Because you ask not. How do you ask? With your mouth. So sometimes you don't have something because you never asked God for it. You're still being snared, limited, trapped by the words of your mouth. And so we have to judge what's coming out of mouth and judge what we say. We even saw from Ecclesiastes 5, 2 through 6 that that a fool is going to be known by his many words. So be careful what you're saying. Let me see here. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. We saw we have to give an account for every idle word. That means words are either going to add something to your life or subtract something from your life. That word account. When you see that word account, think of accounting. Something being credited or something being debited based upon the words of your mouth Or are you saying things that's adding what you want to be added to your life and subtracting what you want to be subtracted from your life? Or are you saying things that add things to your life that you don't want to add into your life and taking away things from your life that you want to be in your life? So let me move on with that. The length, and this is powerful, y'all. The length and quality of your life is determined by your mouth. The length and the quality of your life is determined by your mouth. First of all, let me deal with that thing about the length of your life. So, tradition says, who don't really read the word, that, you know, man's life, the Bible, God promised man 70 to 80 years. Okay? Because it said, there's a psalm. It's a psalm of Moses. Now, all of the psalms were written by David, though most of them were. This is a psalm, it's a collection, but this psalm was by Moses. Moses praying to God. He said, the days of our years, he said, are 70. A score is 20. 3 times 20, 60. And 10, 70. And then he said, and by reason of strength, maybe 80. He said, if somebody really strong, they're living to 80. Okay? But when you understand the context of that, Moses is complaining to God about the children of Israel dying in the wilderness. Okay? That's that first generation. Remember, God said they wasn't going to come in. Wasn't going to go in. So they had to die in the wilderness. And to keep the children from not dying in the wilderness too, the parents had to move on. So they only lived in the 60 and 70 years, and with rare exception, some by 80 years. Moses complained. He said, God, come on, have mercy on us. You spare us. We're only living to be 70, 80 years old. Because y'all know when you start reading all before then, you know, those folks are living 100, 200 years and all that. He said, God, folks are only living to 80 years old. And so, even after sin, God said man's years would be 120. Okay? An exception that would be beyond that. God said, so God said our years really supposed to be 120. Now, so 80 at minimum, ideally 120, is what we ought to be thinking. Okay? So let me still play around with this whole idea about premature death, because I said this one time, and a pastor's wife, a friend of mine, she challenged. She said, "Hey, what's that? You keep talking about premature death. Ain't no such thing about premature death." You know why? Because again, tradition. How about this? When your time to go, it's your time to go. Well, okay, if you really believe that, next time the doctor say you got something that needs surgery, just look at him and say, "That's all right, doctor. But when your time to go, it's your time to go." No, you don't do it. You're like, okay, what I got to do to fix it? No, if you really believe, just say, no, that's all right. I have no surgery. Because when your time to go, it's your time to go. No, you don't really believe that. People realize there's things I can do to either add to my life or subtract from my life. Amen? And so, premature death is when we are not living out the full number of years that God has in mind for us. Sometimes because of how we're treating our bodies. Sometimes by doing crazy things. You know, when I was young in my 20s, I always say I'm going skydiving. I'm going skydiving. When I'm my 20s, I ain't trying to dive in no sky. That was then, this is now, okay? I ride a motorcycle. I'm extremely safe with my motorcycle. So my son talked about getting a motorcycle. I said, if you want, you know, I can't tell him don't get a motorcycle because I ride a motorcycle. But what I tell him is, I said, just wait. I said, wait a little while. Wait till you have children. Wait till you're a little older. Wait till you're a little more responsibility where you realize you got more to lose by being stupid. Then you don't take as many chances when you realize other people's lives are dependent upon you. Okay? Because you realize people just, you know, I'm not trying to go skydiving. I saw something, you know, people, I ain't trying to climb Mount Everest. You know, look, I ain't trying to do all that. With long life will I satisfy you. Amen. And I'm not trying to do anything to shorten it. And you don't believe that those things shorten your life? Take out $1 million insurance policy and watch the question they ask you. Are you planning on skydiving? Mm-hmm. Well, let's increase that premium or say no. Okay. They'll even ask you what countries you plan on visiting. Because some countries you visit are riskier than other countries. It's not just a matter of when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. There's things we can do to lengthen our life, and there's things we can do to shorten our lives. Amen? And one of those things is how we use our mouth. Now, let me show this in the scripture. First in Old Testament, then New Testament. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 12 and 13. It says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? Anybody love many days? I mean, wants to have a long life. That he may see good. Okay. He said, who is the person who desires a good long life? Come on, if that's you, raise your hand. Okay. Now, then he gives us a key to doing it. Verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil. And thy lips from speaking God. So the Bible tells me I can affect the quality and the length of my life based upon what comes out of my mouth. That's why we can't just be saying everything. In our house, we catch each other. My wife catch me. I catch her. We catch our kids. We catch each other. We start sitting down. Listen, we don't play like that. No, we take that back. And sometimes the Bible says you shouldn't even be saying stuff that you're trying to say, I'm taking back. He said, because watch the angel, because sometimes you speak and the angel's already moving. 1 Peter 3 and 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Refrain, that means govern it, discipline it, stop it. From evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Okay? Guile, let's just say this, things that go against the word of God. Things that don't line up with God's perfect will. So if we're going to have long life, a long good life, that can be affected by what we say. That's why this is so important. Okay? So we need to discipline our mouth. Judge our mouth, and now we need to discipline our mouth. Look at James 1:26. He said, if a man among you seem to be religious, claim he loved the Lord, we would probably use the word more devoted to God or spiritual today. You say you serious about your relationship with God, if you are spiritual, he said, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Oh, man. It's so much in that scripture. It says you can be reading the Bible. You can be running around the church. You can be jumping. You can be shouting. You can be fasting. He said, but if you don't govern what you say, what comes out of your mouth, he said, all that can be in vain. All those, quote, unquote, religious, spiritual things that you say that you're doing. But I read my Bible. But I come to church. If you read your Bible, you come to church, you got a prayer life, that should manifest in you having a discipline regarding your tongue and your mouth. Now notice it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, so that tells me, it says bridleth not, that means what I say is an act of my will. I can choose to bridle, to discipline, to stop, to harness my tongue. Can you put that verse up for me in the New Living Translation? James 1:26. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. And your religion is worthless. Now really think about it. With the exception of people who just are petty and just look at somebody and prejudge them and don't like them just because they people look at people and say they think they're cute. No, they don't. You only know that person got the lowest self-esteem in the world. You saying that because you think they're cute. Okay. They think they all that. Okay, you don't even know the person. You just see somebody. Okay, but most of the time, if you have a legitimate reason to not like somebody, it's because of what? Because of their mouth. Amen. Now, again, unless you're just petty, and look at people prejudging. Usually, if you don't like, it's usually because of their mouth. What they say with their mouth. So we determine even how other people receive us by our mouths. But no, they just got the devil in them. No, you always saying something stupid. They just hard to get along with. No, you're obnoxious. Those you don't know, obnoxious is a big word that simply means you cause people to dislike you. Okay? Now, come on. We're all supposed to love everybody with the love of God. But some people shouldn't have to be that deep. I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord. Why can't I be all that? Why can't I love you? Why can't I pray to love you? And fast to love you? Go to God about loving you. We ought to be easy to love. Lord, say, help me to be easy to love. You know, my friend Bishop C. Wright, Bishop Jake said it about Bishop C. Wright when he was here, my consecration. And he recognized the bishops who was part of my consecration. And he said, George C. Wright, he said, now if you don't like George C. Wright, he said, you just going to hell. Everybody loved George C. Wright. He's such a nice guy. I'm telling you right now, George C. Wright, if I go to talk about somebody, he go, hey, hey, hey. In other words, he ain't jumping in on that. Okay? That because he knows people I don't know, I'll give have a speaker, I go to, and I have to really discern. I said, man, listen, I'm thinking about having so-and-so. What you, you pray about it. Right away, I know that probably means don't have them. But he's not gonna run people down with his mouth. Are y'all listening to me? And so there's some people just easy to like. Say, everybody say, Lord, help me to be easy to like and easy to love. So we have to discipline our mouth. Go to James 3. James 3, the first verse says, he said, brethren, desire not to be many teachers. He said, all you folks who want to be in the pulpit and preaching to everybody and teaching everybody and leading other people, he said, you really shouldn't desire that. You need to be called to that. Brother, be not many masters. That means, he said, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I have a chapter in my book based upon this verse. Higher responsibility. It's in my book, In Whom There's No God. Higher accountability, higher responsibility. Okay, so see, it really bothers me when preachers, we preach in the word and we got all these titles, we bishops and we pontiffs and archbishops and prophets and prophetess. And then soon something go down. Well, I'm just a man just like you. Well, everybody ain't the prophetess. No, I'm serious. Everybody ain't bishop. So, but now I'm just a man just like you. No, we got a high responsibility. The Bible says that. He said, before you accept this call or say you called and going to be leading other people and teaching other people, he said, no. He said, we're going to have a harsher judgment and higher condemnation. We're going to receive greater condemnation. And that's not talking about from God, because God doesn't condemn us. It's talking about how people are going to be looking at you. Verse 2, he says, because in many things we offend all. He said, there's just some folks we're going to offend. He said, if any offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is also able to bridle the whole body. He said, man, if you can get control of this tongue, you can control everything. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Y'all know a horse is strong. Horse is a horse is a horse, of course. Nobody can talk to a horse, of course. Unless, of course, it's the famous Mr. Ed. Okay? I'm sorry. These young people are like, what is he talking about? Okay. A horse as strong as it is that could throw a man off of it. He said, yet we're able to put a bit in his mouth and make that horse go wherever you want it to go.
A medical exam does a complete scan of your body. When was the last time you did a self-exam? In this reflective series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to look introspectively and examine any areas that may be causing a spiritual deficit in your life. Order today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for spiritual self-examination.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.